Would you bow your heads, please? Father, we ask that you would open our ears and open our eyes so that we can see and hear what your Spirit is speaking us today in Jesus' name. I want to take you back to Romans 5 that we talked about this week. And verse 1 is, again, been strong in my heart. And I want to go back there for a few moments and take you on a little bit of a trip so that you can understand why we are people of faith. The word faith is the substance of something that we can believe in, yet we don't see the evidence. It's like, well, do you believe in the wind? But I can't see it. Well, you can believe in what it does. And when the wind is blowing, you can feel what it has completed. Just like God's presence, sometimes we would like to tangibly understand it, but by faith we accept, and when we do, we please God, because He is our Father. But again, I want to take you to verse 1, Romans 5. Therefore, since we have been justified or made righteous by faith, when we look at this, a lot of times people get a wrong concept that we have to work to be accepted by God. We also have to work in order to be made righteous, or to be working to be justified. And it's totally off center. Because when you have faith in believing that you have already been justified and made righteous, it's not something that you did or activated, except the reality that you're saying to God, yes, I believe that I am justified. Yes, I believe that I am made righteous by faith. And so therefore, you get to understand the purposes of God so that we can activate by our words what He has already told us about ourselves. Now, a lot of times we don't comprehend the reality that He's inside of us. And He is the reality of who we are and why we are what we are. And I was pressed to go to a book that I've had for a long time. In fact, it's pretty well beat up. And we're going to definitely try to get a few of these. It's Doug Fortune's book on the Apostolic Reformation. And I kept hearing page 41. So those of you who have this particular book, you can go back to your shelf, look at it again, and then confirm basically what I'm about to teach you. Now, it starts at the bottom of page 40, and it goes like this. I realize that there are many good, well-intentioned Christians who probably shudder at those words, becoming one with Christ. When you are becoming one with Christ, you're becoming just as He was. You're becoming righteous and justified in the courts of heaven. Becoming one with Christ, thinking them to be blasphemous. But according to Paul in the next verse, after speaking of this simplicity, to preach anything else is to preach another Jesus than the one we preach. Receive a different spirit from the spirit you received. And that's given in 2 Corinthians 11:4. The reason this idea of oneness with Christ, or the Anointed One, may be offensive. To some is because of religious strongholds of the mind. In other words, what we were brought up with, what we have believed that people told us, rather than what the God of heaven wrote down through His Holy Spirit. So these are religious strongholds of the mind, arguments and high things that exalt themselves against the true knowledge of God. You'll find that in 2 Corinthians 10:5. The word translated knowledge, and you better tighten your seatbelt. The word translated knowledge there is gnosis in Greek. I may not pronounce it right, but I'll get to it. It comes from the word genosko, which means to know, feel, perceive, understand, and also in the Hebrew mind, it was often used as a term referring to the intimacy between a husband and wife. between Adam, new Eve, knowledge, genosko, oneness. And she received or conceived the idea of the oneness of a husband and wife to become one flesh. Unfortunately, most of our modern dispensationalists have taken the marriage supper of the Lamb and put it in Revelation 19 and pushed it off into some future time, robbing us of the present fulfillment. Think about it. If you think you're going to get the marriage supper of the Lamb down the road of your life, you are being robbed with the reality that you should have that unity and that harmony now. So the oneness that he's speaking about and your righteousness and your justification before God is already a completed reality, but you've got to receive it by faith. Accept it for yourself as a done deal. When he went on that cross, he didn't do just the bleeding. He was taking on everything we've ever done wrong and everything we will ever do wrong. And he took it upon himself. We don't have to carry that guilt anymore. Unless you want to keep on going and feeling sorry for yourself and feeling bad about yourself. Because that's exactly what happens when the deceiver comes. He says, you're guilty, you're guilty, you're guilty, you'll never come out of this. And that's a total lie from hell.
That's right.
Notice again, if this reality of becoming one with Christ, with the Anointed One, Jesus, when this reality that is what we just read about in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 and 13, one body, one spirit, being joined to the Lord. Dear, did you hear that? Joined to the Lord. Unity. A man and his wife get married for what? For unity. One spirit being joined to the Lord. False religion arguments of the mind declare to us that there is no way we can become one with Christ. At least not until we die and live in the sweet by and by. So what are you doing? Oh, let's die right now so we can get into heaven. Good grief, get into heaven now. Let's have an, you know, the Lord gave us a prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come where? Now, in us. He wants that harmony. He told us how to pray it. And what do? We push it back away. Get a clue, man. Wake up. I declare to you that the religious strongholds of the mind is anti-Christ or anti or instead of the anointing. And I cast it down now. I speak release of the abiding anointing within you to bring the revelation of the knowledge or the harmony or the intercourse between you and the Lord. And it's the Lord of glory. His glory rising within you as the water covers the sea. Now tighten your seatbelt again. Say, God, I want to hear. I want to understand this. And I need revelation and grace to change my mind about who I am. Hallelujah. His glory rising within you as the water covers the sea. I declare to you that you have the mind of Christ. It's not you're going to have. It's you already have it by faith. I speak to the God of this world, the Adam nature, that has brought blindness to the mind, and to the rulers of darkness, those spiritual entities that obscure the light of truth. And I command that power to be loosed off my mind. And the readers that light the knowledge of the glory of God, the glory that shines forth, and the knowledge of the glory. I know there's an awful lot of words here, but I'm trying to get you to understand that you have already been made righteous in his eyes, and when you get his opinion, you're not going to be arguing about it all the time. When you get his opinion and you begin to declare it for yourself, you will be confessing what he says about you instead of what man says about you. And that's what we declared earlier. Where did I put that to leaf now? Right here. Remember what we said when we first started? I am not what the world says I am. I am today, stepping into my end time destiny. I am what God says that I am. Well, how are you going to get God's opinion of you if you don't read the Bible? How are you going to get God's opinion when you're listening to the news about how everything is going to fall apart by the end of 2012? Unless we appoint and anoint and elect the right person. I've got news for you. That word, who gave the word for Bob Trump? You did. God knows all the details about Bob Trump. He knows all the details about our country. He's going to push all the right buttons to get us to where we need to be. He is not stupid. If he was depending on man, we would have been totally lost. He depended on who? His firstborn son. Did he come through? Yes, he did. How do we know? Because the Father showed up and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." I talked to Doug Fortune yesterday. Pray that the Lord will open the doors for him to be able to come. I should know the answers very shortly. But if God's plan is different than what mine is, we will adjust. And all of God's people said,
amen.
We will adjust and let God's plan unfold. Try it on for size now. Close your eyes. Say, I am righteous.
I am righteous.
Because of faith in Christ.
Because of faith in Christ.
And what he did on that cross for me.
And what he did on the cross.
I am justified.
I am justified.
In the courts of heaven.
In the courts of heaven.
And in the courts of the earth. Because of the blood of Jesus that has washed me clean and washed away all my guilt
and
all my frustration. I give you praise, Lord Jesus. Don't stop revealing yourself to me. Keep me going forward every day by grace so that I can become exactly what you planned, even from before I was born.
In my mother's womb.
You already knew me. And you certainly know me now. I give you the praise.
I give you the glory.
And give me a hunger for your word. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Share some hugs with each other.